Kia ora and welcome back to the show. And I'm very excited to have on the line with me right now Matthew Goody, writer of Needles and Plastic, Flying Nun Records, 1981 to 1988. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And well, look, to be honest, I don't know what to say. This might just about be one of the most meticulously well-researched books I've ever laid my eyes upon. So I've got to ask first, where did this fascination with Flying Nun come from?
It speaks to the international reach of Flying Nun that, you know, someone like myself who's from all the way over in Canada can discover these bands and have such a passion for it that makes you want to write a book. And, you know, I discovered The Clean many years ago and was just blown away. And then when I discovered some of the kind of obscure bands, like This Kind of Punishment was a particularly big influence on me. It astonished me, the wealth of music on the label, and I just wanted to learn more and more, and I was crazy enough to want to write a book about it.
Well, yeah, I don't even want to begin, don't even want to ask when you started this book, because it is a big boy. Like, we're not talking a small book here at all. How was that research journey for you? What did that look like?
It's, you know, part of my obsessiveness, I guess. I was just like, you know, I was constantly trying to, I was combing eBay, looking for old fanzines and copies of Rip It Up. And, you know, I was working in publishing and I was lucky enough to be traveling a lot. So I would identify where there was archives of old newspapers. And so I'd, you know, go to the British Library and comb through microfilm of the Christchurch Press for days on end. And, you know, discovered pretty early on the astonishing amount of journalism that was going on at the time, documenting the scenes, and just had, you know, every week there was write-ups on these bands, interviews, reviews of the records, and there was just a wealth of material that I could then pull out and use it to help me tell the story.
One of the really fascinating things about the book is kind of your structure of it. We kind of go basically record by record, more or less. Is that how you planned to structure the book? Was that always how you envisioned it?
Yeah, I think, you know, because I'm coming at it from a distance, both in terms of geographically and also time. You know, I'm a lot younger than when all this stuff happened. So, you know, I discovered Flying Nun through the records, and I wanted to use them to tell the story. And also, there was a lot of mystery for me about the records. Like, when did these actually come out? Because, you know, Flying Nun was a little bit disorganized, to put it kindly. So it was a little bit, there was a lot of these, like, puzzle pieces. Like, well, when did this actually, when was this recorded? When did it come out? So it kind of helped me tell the story. And I didn't want it to be filled with a kind of lot of nostalgic interviews with bands looking back 40 years.
Yeah,
I wanted
right.
to kind of pull out their voices from what they were saying at the time they were making this music.
I will use, for example, you know, the Pin Group right at the start of the book is a great example. And there's quite a number of them kind of sprinkled throughout the book of very, very hard to track down records. Was that, trying to find those, was that a very long process?
Trying to find the records? Yeah, I mean, I still do not own the first two Pin Group records, and I never probably will.
Right.
They're such collector's items, and I'm not willing to pay the astronomical prices that they go for. But I tracked down almost every other record, I think about 95% of everything that's in the book. Again, I think it speaks to how far globally Flying Nun has gone that, you know, where did I find most of the records that I own from Flying Nun? I found them in England.
Wow.
And Germany. You know, Germany is filled with Flying Nun records.
Wow.
So it speaks to, you know, that kind of fan base, how Flying Nun went overseas, how it kind of reached reached the world. Particularly, I like to tell that story in the book from, you know, when John Peel discovered some of these records in 1984, started playing them, you know, the Chills going over in 85, and how Flying Nun Business was kind of held together by international sales by the end of the decade.
Yeah, well, I have to say that's a very good point, because, you know, as someone born in the late 90s, I missed a lot of this Flying Nun heyday, and it's been eye-opening to realize quite how far-reaching all this was, and I don't think I kind of really understood that at all. So it's been, it evokes like a bit of local pride, really. It's very interesting. But in terms of your record collection, do you kind of have a white whale, one that you would love to have?
The first Pin Group, the first two Pin Group 7-inch was definitely the first one. That's always been the white whale. I'm not under any illusion of ever finding a copy. It's just so expensive. And I kind of live in great fear of what the impact of this book will be in terms of the collector's market, because the prices for these records is already bonkers. So I hope I'm not contributing to making it worse for people who want to find this stuff.
Well, I think that's just kind of the nature of it a little bit, and you sort of have to accept that. That's out of your control, really. Was there anything, any noteworthy moments that really surprised you in the research of this book?
It just made me have a just amazing appreciation for. I mean, Roger Shepherd is a central part of the story, and he's obviously the founder and the owner of the label, and he's an important person. But all the kind of people that were kind of in the background making it all work and telling their stories was just an amazing kind of joy. And I really wanted to shine a light on some of the people, you know, particularly people like Chris Knox. You know, people know him as a musician primarily, and the work he did with Tall Dwarves and Toy Love, and some of the recording efforts he did. But the amount of stuff he was doing for Flying Nun is just astonishing. And Doug Hood as well, who recorded a lot of these bands and helped him tour. Artists like Leslie McLean and Ronnie Van Hout, who were making these amazing posters and artwork for the records. People who are photographing the bands, like Carol Tippett, all those kind of people, and making people aware through the book that it was what kind of an artistic community went into making Flying Nun a reality.
I'd be interested to know if it the kind of spirit of Flying Nun and the message you get across about these people and their passion. Do you think that's something the modern music industry lacks?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's, it's hard, especially kind of in the post-COVID world, where it's just, it's impossible for bands to tour. We live in a world where, you know, trying to get a record pressed takes forever and it's very expensive.
No, the process is so long at the moment.
It's just unbelievable. So it's very hard being a musician these days. And it was hard being a musician back then, but at least you had all your friends and your community, and you could, you know, go play at a venue, and everybody would come out and you could enjoy it. But it's a real slog right now, unfortunately.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for writing this book. There aren't words to describe just what a brilliant job you have done. Congratulations is frankly all I can say. You should be so proud of it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I genuinely believe every New Zealander should be reading this book. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It was great to talk to you.
It's much appreciated. And one day when you're here in Christchurch, please, please come into the studio.
I'm coming this week.
Oh, great. Watch out. I might pick your brain a little too much. but yeah, hey, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me.
And that was Matthew Goody, writer of Needles and Plastic, Fly Nun Records, 1981 to 1988. Now, everyone needs to read this. I've seen it at a number of bookstores already, but it has been so eye-opening to kind of Aotearoa music history and culture, and I from the bottom of my heart, please go get this book. It is very much coffee table book style, like it's big, but it's just so, so good. Please go get a copy now.